just saw a little bit of what joy was. And as I was preparing for this thing today, I thought to myself, does anybody really know what true joy is? So I went to the Bible dictionary to help Wayne out with this. I'm going to read this to you. It says, what does the Bible say joy really means? On the spiritual level, it refers to the extreme happiness with which the behavior of the believer contemplates salvation and the bliss of the afterlife. Unexpected benefits from God are expressed in terms of common experiences. The Psalms express the joys of mood of believers as they encounter God. So, you know, in order to have true joy, you have got to have the relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what he's telling us in his word.
Amen.
It says here on the third Sunday of Advent, as we think about the coming of Jesus Christ, we light the candle of joy. When Christ comes into our lives, he brings the fullness of joy. He anoints our heads with the oil of gladness, that is spoken also in Isaiah 6 and 1 and 3. When Jesus was born, the angel said the coming was good news to great joy for all people. Because Christ has come to us, we can live every day in the joy of the Lord. Praise his holy name. You know, too oftentimes we think around Christmas time we think about seeing joy in our children's eyes. Joy in just singing praise of his holy name. But until a person reaches the joy of having Jesus Christ to cover their souls, to cover all the problems, they will never experience the joy. I can give you the best gift in the world, the most expensive gift in the world, and that does not touch the joy of Jesus Christ. So we need to remember during this time right here, we spend a lot of time thinking about joy. Psalm 5 and 11 says that, we hear these words. But let all take refuge in your rejoice. Let them sing every song with joy. Spread your protection over them, so that those who love your name may exalt you in you. The two purple candles and one pink candle are lit as we see here now. Too often we think joy is something big. Oh God, if a brass band or a parade or certainly bring us joy just as easily as far more often we feel joy in a hug or the squeeze of a hand. We can see joy in a smile or even laughter. Help us to not overlook the simple joys that peek into our lives daily. This week in our Advent journey, open your eyes to the joy that surrounds us. And with all this, we have to say this. We thank Jesus Christ for allowing us to be born again. That's the greatest joy we can have.
Yes, yes.
Once we're born again, he pours his joy upon us. And you cannot contain that joy inside of you. You just cannot do it. Anyone tells you that they're joyful and you see a frown on their face or they don't want to help, they don't want to give, Jesus hasn't touched their life. I heard a lady speaking this morning on a show I was watching early. And she said that so many times people step back and covet the joy. In other words, they'll keep it to themselves. If you have the joy of Jesus Christ, especially during this season of the year, you can't hold it inside.
No.
You got to let it go. Join me in prayer, please. Father God, we thank you for this time to come together to study your word and to just speak on joy for a few seconds, Lord. We thank you for that. Father, most of all, we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. Then again, Father, thank you for the joy that you bring to us. By us knowing your son, and by you coming into our life, Lord, and you shower us with joy, Father. We hope and pray during the season, Lord, that each and every one, son of my sound, Father, under the canopy of heaven, realize one thing. The only true joy is not money, it's not things, it's your son. And through all this, I say, amen and amen.
Amen. Isn't God good?
All
right. Everybody says when I do my jokes that it always seems to talk against women, and I'm always helping the guys out. Well, today, we'll turn this mic on so y'all can hear. There we go. But today, I'm pretty sure I'm going to get a standing ovation from the ladies, but I'm liable to get mud thrown at me or something thrown at me from the guys, so guys, don't boo me too loud. Get ready. Y'all ready? Someone speculated, this is an oldie but goldie, but I'm sure y'all like this. Someone speculated what the first Christmas might have been like if wise women had come from the east instead of wise men. Ready? First of all, they would have asked for directions, and they would have made it to Bethlehem on time. Second, they would have helped with delivery, cleaned up the stable, brought some practical gifts like a casserole to the family so they'd have something to eat. Yep. I'm going to stop it right there.
That's right.
Ladies?
Yeah.
All right. That's funny. again, throw it in the bottle. Okay, how about this? Christmas is just like like a deity. Any day at the office, you do all the work, and one guy in a fix and a suit gets all the credit.
That's right.
All right, it's getting better. Okay, one more. Church is having a play. The little boys come up to present their gifts. The little boy says, "I bring unto you gold." The little boy comes up and says, "I bring up to you myrrh." And a third guy come up and said, "Frank sent this." Okay, I'm through with it. I'm drowning it up here. That's my always. I got to use that one. Yeah. That's an old book. Y'all sent me a new book, and I looked at it, and I read some to Vicki, and she said, "Go back to the other book." All right, here we go. Let's just stand. We're going to read this together, okay? We're going to read these scriptures together, because I know y'all are familiar with these scriptures. Remember, Christmas is a time of great joy. You can get your Bible if you want to, or you can look at it right up here. I want us to read this together. "And the angel of said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I will bring you good tidings of great joy." Remember, this year has been the first year ever, as we do Advent, I've been trying to make sure that the message lined up with whatever candle was lit today. Joy is lit. Alright? So, "The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Father, I thank you, Lord, for your power. I thank you for your anointing. I thank you, God, that you loved us so much that you sent your Son to die in our place. And it had to start in Bethlehem. And I thank you for that. I thank you, God, that you loved us so much that you wanted to enter our lives and understand us in a better way, because you never knew pain. You never knew hurt on the level that a man does. And I ask you right now, Father, to help us to genuinely appreciate what you've done for us. And I thank you, God, right now for moving in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The church said,
amen.
Amen. Look at somebody and say, look, the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. You can be seated. Let's read this in another version here. Alright? This is the International Standard Version here. "And the angel told them, stop being afraid." Wow. That kind of puts a little heavier spin on it, doesn't it? Just instead of saying, fear not, stop living in a state of fear. How many here today, if you think about it, you have lived some of your life, part of your life, or most of your life in a state of fear? Always afraid you didn't have enough. Always afraid your children might do wrong, do right. Or always afraid you might lose your job. Or you're always afraid of something going to be happening. You live your life in a state of fear. Here it is. The good news of Jesus Christ being born. Stop being afraid. And then listen. If you want to stop being afraid, you got to listen. "I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. Today your Savior, the Lord Messiah, was born in the city of David." Wayne did an awesome job explaining joy. My hat's off to you, bro. You did, matter of fact, I thought you looked at my outline. I weren't sure. You did so good. Man, you were doing good. All right, joy. If you look at joy in the Greek, and you look at all the words that joy stands for, all the words it can mean, if you put them all together, the word joy means a calm delight. Think about it. A calm delight. Think about those shepherds. They were not calm. It was terrible. And he said, stop being afraid. There's some joy coming. And you can be calm in this delight. Now, here's the words. Cairo is the word for joy. which is where we get the word charis, which is where we get grace. And charis is where we get the word charisma, which is where we get gift. So if you think about all those words and put it all together, joy is something from the grace of God that you can only get from a relationship with God. It is a gift from God. That's a very, very, very powerful thing. We're going to go a little bit further. We're going to dig a little bit deeper into this morning. So now, I love it. God with us brings us joy. We're going to begin with an understanding of the gift of joy from God. I'm going to take my time. I think I'll just sit down for a minute. We're going to begin with an understanding of what this gift is. First, we're going to say that joy is not just an emotion. It's not. If we live by our emotions, we're going to live up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. But if we live by this joy, we're not going to be up and down, up and down, up and down. It's a divine gift, and Jesus Christ is our source. It is a manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit. God plants in our hearts. We talk about the fruits of the Spirit. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit. When it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, then it gives the manifestations. And, of course, all the manifestations are found in the Advent. Well, now we're talking about joy. So, joy is one of, y'all say one of. One of the manifestations of the fruit of His Spirit. God plants this deep within us. It moves our hearts to, moves from our hearts to our feet so we can walk it out. We can live an example. It walks from loose from our hearts to our hands and to our mouth in order that we can share it, our witness. So now we're going to get even deeper. Let's keep on going. We're going to get even deeper. Y'all set it down in the plow, Pastor. All right, here we go. Get ready. This joy is not just a feeling. It's not just a moment of happiness. And it's definitely not a fleeting sense of pleasure. Okay? Let's get a little bit deeper here. It's a deep-seated, unshakable certainty that no matter what happens to us, no matter what we're going through, no matter what the doctor told you, no matter what your job told you, we are held secure in the loving arms of our Savior. That's powerful. This is His joy, not ours. His. It's not something that you can work up. It's not something you can manufacture. It's not something you can buy. You can't buy your way into getting this kind of joy. Alright, so let's go a little look. It's more than emotion, but a divine gift freely given us by our Heavenly Father. It is a gift that is meant to be cherished, nurtured, and shared. Now, I'm gonna take a few scriptures in the Bible to help explain the gift of joy. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, I love this, is one on my toes. A cheerful heart is a good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Proverbs 17 and 22. Anybody that thinks God didn't have a sense of humor and God thinks we should walk around all the time with our hands crossed and not laughing, not smiling, no. A cheerful heart is a good medicine. I don't like having a crushed spirit. I don't know about you, but I don't enjoy that, okay? I'm allergic to plastic flowers, isn't that something? I'm allergic to the point that says whether they're real or whether they're fake. Here we go. A cheerful heart, we just read that. A cheerful heart is a heart filled with joy. It is good for our health. It's good for our well-being. It's good for our spirit. But when your spirit has been crushed, it is a spirit that is void of joy and it dries up the bones. It saps our strength. It saps our vitality. It drains our life force. Now just think about this. If I was to ask you right now with nobody looking around, matter of fact, I don't even raise your hand. But I'm going to ask you right now, which one of these do you think would describe you today, this week, this month? Again, no hands raised. Which one would adequately describe you? You have a cheerful heart, or you have a crushed spirit? When Jesus came up to this world, into this world, on this earth, he came to an earth that had, the whole earth had a crushed spirit. That's why he said, I'll bring you a message of good tidings, of great joy, because you need a faith lift. You need something that's going to get you moving. Now, let's just look. What does this tell us about this gift of joy? I'm going to get you just a few more things, and then we're going to be through for today. All right, ready? What does it tell us about our joy? Joy is essential for our well-being. A man cannot, look, a man can only live, or a woman, can live about maybe 40, 50 days without food, 7 days without water. They can't live 5 minutes without joy. Think about it. It's essential. We have to have it. It's not a luxury. It's not an optional extra. It is a necessity. It's not just for the chosen few. It's for everybody that accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Sometimes we have to be taught how to do this. Sometimes we have to be led into this experience. But anyway about it, it's for everyone. Now, without joy, our spirit is crushed. Our life forces drain. Our bones are dried up. But with joy, our spirit is uplifted, our life force is renewed, our bones are strengthened. Let's go to another verse. Habakkuk 3, actually 17 and 18, I'm going to focus on 18. Though the fig trees should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the oil fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet, y'all say yet. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. So now, what does this tell us about the gift of joy? Number one, it is not dependent on circumstances. It's not contingent on what's happening around us. It is not determined on life's ups and downs. No, it's not there. You don't have to have that. You see, let me tell you something. Happiness, it comes from the word happening. Happiness comes from happenings. It is short-lived. It is an outside job. It is something that has to do with things surrounding you. And as long as you're surrounded by the right people, the right things, the right events, then you can be happy. But God said, I don't want you just to live that way. Yes, you can be happy. I want you to be happy. But that is not how God's people live. We live by joy. Joy is an inside job. It's not based on happenings. It's based on relationship. One can be shaken, and the other one is not easily shaken at all. So, what is the pillar of our relationship with God? We determined by our trust in His promises. So now what it looks like, I'm going to trust the Lord. Next verse. These things have I told you, that you might have joy in you, that your joy might be full. This is our promise from Jesus. He's saying that His joy is in His relationship with the Father. It's not just a little bit of joy, but it's full joy. It's complete joy. It's overflowing joy. It doesn't matter what the economy's doing. It doesn't matter how big or how little your paycheck is. It does not matter what is going on in your life. This joy in the Lord is very, very, very powerful. So, let's take it even a little bit different, or deeper. What does this tell us about the gift of joy? Again, this scripture right here. Get ready. Joy is not something we have to strive for. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to work for it. It is a gift. Let me ask you a question on Christmas morning. When you're children get to the Christmas tree to open up the Christmas presents, do you tell them, okay, this one's got a $5 price tag on it, this one's got a $10 price tag on it. You give me $5, you can open that gift. You give me $10, you can open that gift. Do we do that to our kids? Do that to your wife? You did it to, well, look, I promise you, if I did it to my kids, that'd be a riot in my house. Tell the grandkids, okay, y'all cough up $2 for this gift, $3 for this gift. No, I give it to them and say, go for it. And every time I give it to them and they go for it, guess what they do? They go for it. Because it's a gift, you can't earn it. And God's joy is a complete joy that you don't have to earn. And you can trust God with it. Now, get a little deeper, get ready. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I will say, rejoice. Now, let's go a little deeper. We keep on getting deeper with this joy. Now we can do some toe-stomping. The joy of the Lord. Rejoicing in the Lord. When Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say, rejoice, it was not a suggestion. It was a command. It's a call to action. It's not a passive observation. Paul is telling us to rejoice, to celebrate, to be joyful. And just in case you didn't get it the first time, he said it again. The command to rejoice is not conditional. Not rejoice if you feel like it. Not rejoice if things are going well. He simply says, rejoice in the Lord always. This is a call to constant, unceasing, unwavering joy. You know, I find myself, when I'm going through the day and things are getting kind of rough, and I'm starting to find myself getting overrun by what's going on around me, I'll say, wait a minute. You know what? I haven't praised God enough today. I'm not letting God's joy flow through me today. And as I begin to let God's joy flow through me, and my trigger is praise. It's amazing. What happens in our life when we do that? I'm getting ready to close. I say, get ready. Why does God want you to be rejoicing? Why does God need you to be rejoicing? Why do you need to be rejoicing? Jesus Christ is our lighthouse, but it said that we are the light. City on the hill. We're the light, we're the salt. Jesus is operating through us and through our testimony. The call to rejoice, as we rejoice, it benefits ourselves, but it also benefits other people. When we rejoice, it's amazing what happens. Y'all heard this story a thousand times, but it's worth telling again. I was working at Procter & Gamble. I'm in the shop, I'm tired, and I think it was third shift, and I'm trying to hurry up and get going. And so we were working out of the same toolbox, and some guy on the other side was using the tools, and he come back and he didn't shut the toolbox all the way. His drawer. I was working on the drawer under, and so I put my tools back in the box, and I went to shut it, and when I did, I caught all four fingers on the drawer. On top, I mean, it cut it. I mean, my top bloody cut. And I didn't say a word. I just went, And I'm not kidding you. I heard the Lord say, praise me. Out loud. And I said, this is all real fast. And I said, Lord, I don't feel like praising you. Out loud. And he said, praise me anyway. It's not for you. It's for them. And I began to praise God as they were wrapping something, wiping the blood off my fingers, and as they were going through, and as they were trying to get it so I could go back to work. Sometimes people around you need to hear you praising God because it winds up being a beacon. Amen? Amen. So now, when we become a beacon of hope, a light in darkness, when we do this, we become a living testimony when we let God work through us. And it's also a sign to our adversaries. They can't get you down with any little thing. Here's one of my favorites. Stop right there. How many in here know the difference between a thermometer and a thermostat? A thermostat or a thermometer it just gauges what's going on around it, and it reflects it. There's 10 degrees, it reads 10 degrees, and it reflects it. If it's 100 degrees, it reads 100 degrees, and it reflects it. Without joy in our life, we're thermometers. We come into a situation, and we see what's going on around us, and we just reflect what's going on. We come into a bunch of bad attitudes, we wind up having a bad attitude, and we just reflect it. We come into a place that's really, really sad, and if we don't have the joy of God in us like we should, then what we do is we pick up on all the sadness and we reflect the sadness. God doesn't need you to be a thermometer. I promise you there's enough thermometers in the room to take care of business. There's enough people to tell you how bad everything is. God needs us to be thermostats. A thermostat seeks through the room and it seeks conditions. And once it finds conditions, if the conditions are not where they should be, the thermostat has the ability to change the conditions. The question is, are you a thermostat or are you a thermometer? If you've got the joy of God in you and He's working in you and through you and doing something special and you begin to praise God and have that good attitude, guess what? You can be a thermostat in any situation that you find yourself in. God wants us all to be thermostats. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6 and 10, he said, I'm sorrowful, yet I'm always rejoicing. And I'm poor, but I'm always making many rich. I have nothing, but I possess everything. Yeah. Think about this thing. Paul knew what it meant to rejoice in the Lord. Despite facing numerous trials and tribulations, how many of you had a bad day lately? Don't raise your hand. You had a bad day lately? I understand. I'm not belittling your bad day. We have a good story too. We got. It's like every hour somebody's calling some more bad news in the family, and somebody had died, and somebody's sick. And, you know, it kept on going and going and going. But you think we've had bad days. Can you imagine him, Paul? He was imprisoned. He was beaten with rods. He was stoned. He suffered shipwreck. Any way you can think of a way to hurt a man, this man had been hurt. Matter of fact, history tells us that Paul was a short man, very short man, probably 5 foot tall. And from being stoned and left for dead, that's when he went to the third heaven and God sent him back. Because he had been stoned, some paralysis was in his body. This is history talking. And when he walked, he drug a leg. This is the Apostle Paul, the greatest apostle I consider that lived. So one side of his body is gone. Because of the malaria and because of the prison, his eyesight had been taken. So he couldn't see very well. He drug a leg. Spittle ran down his mouth. And he would tell people all the time, don't you judge me because I bear the marks of Jesus Christ on my body. I bear those marks. If you see Galatians, the book of Galatians, you see that Jesus arms, Paul said, if it were possible, love me so much, if it were possible, you'd pluck your own eyes out, which is indicating that he's blind, almost. And it said, see how large a letter I write in my own hand because of sight. So here's this guy. He carries Luke with him, which was his personal physician. He had a personal physician go everywhere he went. All that stuff going on in his life. And he says, yeah, it's sorrowful. Yet I'm always rejoicing. No matter what I've been through, I'm always rejoicing. You see, this is a testament of Paul's unwavering in faith. His unshakable trust in God, his unyielding commitment to the gospel is a testament of his understanding of the true nature of joy. Remember, joy is not a fleeting emotion, but it is an unshakable, deep-seated certainty that God's good. He's going to take care of us. I was watching Saturday morning, there was a Channel 9 had this thing called, I think it was called Good News. And they went to search North Carolina and they found stuff for 30 minutes. You got good news instead of bad news. And they started talking about this girl that loved to sing and singing all over. And they showed the church and this woman's singing. And her voice was so beautiful. It's like an angel. And then they zoomed in. And she only had one nostril. Her face was twisted. She was born without eyes. She had teeth, but you couldn't see them by where her face was designed, had grown. And instead of going around thinking about how bad this looks and how bad she's got it, has my leader around everywhere, her mama, her greatest fan, said people all over want her to come sing. If I can find her, I'd love to get her here to sing. But all that stuff, no eyes, one nostril, her mouth, where it was deformed, her head, where her head was deformed. But when she talked, she smiled. And she said, I just love God. I love to sing about Him. And I saw that and I said, God, please forgive me. So many times I'm complaining over stuff. And I got my nose, I got my eyes. I got a face. It may not be the prettiest thing, but I got a face. And I can walk around, anybody leading me around, and see her joy just exemplified by Paul is saying. Up here. Wow. Talk about power. This week's challenge, and Brandon, you can come play something, bro. This week's challenge, let's take the Paul, and I just named it that. I'm not even sure what to call it, so I just called it the Paul Attitude Challenge. For Paul's Attitude Challenge, for those that love to have their grammar done right, the Paul Attitude Challenge. Sorrow, forgive, rejoicing. No matter what challenges, no matter what obstacles that you face this week, this week's going to be crazy if you try to go anywhere because it's the last week before Christmas. Everybody's trying to get their Christmas shopping in. It's terrible out there. I mean, it's absolutely terrible out there. People run over you, they'll try to, you better make sure they'll run right over you, don't try to put two cars in one parking space. There's just some crazy mess going on out there now. People wanting to fight over whatever, who's going to get the last dog, whatever. I've seen all kinds of stuff going on. Seen the law at Walmart, when I do go to Walmart, I can hardly go to Walmart without having the law come up there. No matter what challenge, no matter what obstacle you face this week, here's what I want you to do. I want you to face it head on. But here's the good part. It's the Paul challenge, the Paul attitude. With your praise on. I want y'all to say this. Head on with your praise on.
Head on with your praise on.
Say it with me. Head on with your praise on. One more time. Head on with your praise on. Amen. Watch how your life will bloom with opportunity. Because people will see your attitude and they will ask you. They will see you. They will understand. They may not even understand, but they go, I don't understand how you can be so cheerful, how you can be so full of joy. And you can always tell them it's because Jesus Christ. It's like the little boy
he was at the doctor, and the doctor was doing his little exam, and he puts the stethoscope to his heart, and he says, "That's good." He says, "I can hear Barney in there." And he says, "No, sir." He says, "You hear Jesus?" And they said, "Barney's on my underwear. Jesus is in there." When you learn to face it head on, with your praise on, your life will bloom with opportunity with God, for God, and through God. Wow. Everybody stand. Love. And of course, the following week is New Year's. Every head bowed, every eye closed.
Your joy show.
use it anymore, and I'm ready for God to use me with His joy. Just put that hand up. I'm ready for God to use me with His joy. Use me. Use me any way He wants. All right, let's pray together. Father, I love You. I praise Your name. I thank You for Your grace. I thank You for Your mercy. I thank You, God, that joy comes from grace. And I thank You, God, that You give it freely. Help me learn to accept it. Help me learn to take it. And Lord, help me this season learn to face it head on with my praise on. I thank You. In the name of Jesus we pray. The church said?
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer. And then we're going to Brother Benny is going to dismiss us in prayer. All right, ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses.
Joy really is, so we can not only